Thank you, choir. That song always gets me in a mellow, meditative mood, which is what I need right now. It's been a while since I've been up here to preach. And I'm thankful to be called to this pulpit today. You know, I'm blessed. We are blessed. We have been blessed by God, the Creator. We have been blessed by the Son, Jesus Christ. We have been blessed by the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, we have been blessed by the Holy Spirit whom we celebrated last week with Pentecost. We have been blessed and continue to be blessed. Now, from the outside looking in, that could be a confusing statement of faith. You know, whom are we blessed by? Are we blessed by God or the Trinity? Yes. Not everyone understands that. If you weren't raised in the church or you are a non-believer, you may not get the concept. How can we be thankful for the blessings from three different entities and yet consider them to be of the same essence? The Trinity. Hopefully you'll have a better idea after this sermon for yourself and how to address the concept of the Trinity with others. And when I was contacted about preaching this Sunday, it was midweek, after work, and I had a lot of boxes still to unpack at my new place, so it was challenging. I moved last week. A sermon would be an additional challenge. But God provided a way for me, despite all that, to say yes. And Jesus reminded me that this is what I have prayed for. And the Holy Spirit concurred, saying, we got this. If I had to sum up the Holy Trinity in five words, they would be, love is love is love. In my humble opinion, that's what the Trinity is. Love is love is love. Now, before I get further into this subject, allow me to offer one caveat. At MCC, we do subscribe to inclusive language. We generally don't assign gender to God. However, throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ refers to God as the Father. It is about their relationship. It is not a quest for male supremacy. So please don't chase me out in the parking lot or stop attending church if I don't follow that rule. It would be difficult to describe the Trinity exclusively using those pronouns thee, they, and them. This sermon will be a confusing mess. Of course, here in Texas, you could always say them, they're God, folks. And that might work. So how do you describe the Trinity? Now, some have gone to children's sermons route. They didn't use perichoresis. They use water, which at room temperature we know is a liquid, and when frozen, it's a solid, it's ice, and when heated, it's vapor. So there are three different things of the same essence. And actually, that was one of my ordination questions 5 years ago when they were seeing if I was ready to be ordained. And it was an unexpected ordination question. There was no easy answer then. There's no easy answer now. After earning a master's degree in seminary, I had to wonder if my interviewers wanted the academic answer with theological terms and references to the social and historical significance of the Trinity. Then I remembered we are MCC, not quite that formal. So instead of breaking it down from the headspace, I followed my heart. Let it lead me. And I use my own family as an analogy. Now, bear with me. My parents as the Creator, providing for and protecting me. You know, all I have needed, thy hands have provided. My brother as Jesus, whom I could turn to for consultation. And my sister as the Holy Spirit, my muse for my creative impulses and sense of humor. And this is not to brag about my family. They weren't perfect, but they were perfect for me. and a way to grasp the ungraspable. And I put my arms around that holy family that we call the Holy Trinity. And I know I'm lucky enough to be able to do so and appreciate that not everyone can do likewise. I'm only using this as an example and as a way to describe my relationship with the Trinity. But please find your own way. It is a worthwhile endeavor. The Trinity becomes not just a concept out there, but a part of your heart and your soul. You know, it's my moms and pops, my bro, my sis, my God, my Jesus, my Holy Spirit. Yes. Have I lost you yet? If you know what I'm talking about, say amen.
Amen.
If you leave what I'm saying, say love is love is love. I'm testifying to encourage you to testify too. Now, of course, Jesus had a few things to say about the Trinity. Let's turn to today's scripture reading. Scripture comes from Matthew 28, the closing chapter of that gospel. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you, to the end of age." Amen. Love is love is love. See, Jesus' parting words to the disciples and to us, he said, go, meaning be active. He said, make disciples of all nations. And the best way to do that is by example, not by bullying, judging, or forcing. Let them know we are Christians by our love. The Trinity is found throughout the Bible. We can go back even to the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God said, "Let us make humans in our image, after our likeness, to rule all the earth itself." And who was God talking to? Yet not everyone agrees with the idea of an eternal Trinity starting with the beginning of time. Even in the early church, the fourth century, a man named Arius, I hope I pronounced that right, contended the Son could not be equal to God. Jesus was created by God. To say otherwise is to suggest that God had needs or was vulnerable or could change like us. For him, God was the ultimate alpha male. This theory became known as the Arian heresy. The church, in turn, decided to do what religion does, make their point of view a doctrine. That's what churches do. The first creed to explicitly state the equality of the Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit and their relationships was traditionally thought to have been authored by Athanasius, but that is now disputed. He did, however, present it to the Bishop of Rome, Pope Julius I. This Sunday after Pentecost, after receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, this Sunday we pause to reflect on the overall mystery of the Trinity. So let us look at another gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And Jesus said, "I still have much to tell you, but you cannot bear hear it. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. Love is love is love. Now, of course, talking history and reading scripture may not be the most convincing argument for some skeptics, understandably. But we also received a more dramatic presentation in the best-selling novel, The Shack, which was made into a movie back in 2017. If you're not familiar with it, I'm just going to share the overall concept and a few details. I'm warning there still may be a few spoilers. The Shack tells the story of a father named Mackenzie, nicknamed Mac. He has a wife and three kids, the youngest of which was lost under tragic circumstances. The family left behind grieved, and Mac seemed to retrieve inside himself. A few years later, he received an invite from someone who identified themselves as Papa, and that's his wife's nickname for God. He answered the invite by going to a cabin in the woods, a shack, the center for most of the story. There he meets Elosha, an African-American woman who tells him to call her Papa, a Middle Eastern carpenter who introduces himself as Jesus, and an Asian woman named Sarahu, a representative of the Trinity. I may have butchered some of those names, but you know. The book explores theological concepts like, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? How do they work together and separately? Who is the judge? Who is ultimately in charge? Why were we given the choice to sin at all? And Mac works along with Sarayu in a garden. He walks across the lake with Jesus and helps Papa in the kitchen, all while talking with them in an approachable manner, just hanging out with the Trinity peeps. Of course, this is the part of the sermon where I would normally share a quote from the book. However, I could not find the book. As I said, I moved last week. I have boxes upon boxes, and I looked through boxes upon boxes, and I could not find it. And of course, later, it'll be the first box that I open, I'll see the book right there. That's how it works, right? I could not get a quote from the book. But, and I have a tag too, a lot of tags in that book for profound quotes. If you read the book, if you read the book or saw the movie, you will know the scene that immediately comes to mind. If not, you'll be inspired to look at the shack and find out what I am talking about. It's a pivotal scene. It involves a conversation between Mac and Papa, in which he confronts her about letting his little girl die. And you see his anger, his frustration, his bewilderment. He accuses her of not being there when she is needed the most. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Papa assures him that she was there, and it pained her as well. In Mac's pain, he had difficulty seeing that. This is a paraphrase, but he said, I am not who you think I am. You misunderstand the mystery. You misunderstand the mystery. I read that part many times. And who hasn't felt that way at some point in their spiritual journey? Suffice it to say, if you are looking for definitive answers, this may not be the book for you. To borrow a phrase from Winston Churchill, the Trinity can sound like a riddle wrapped in a mystery, trapped inside an enigma. If you're willing to allow yourself to wonder and marvel at the mystery of it all, I'd recommend it. Now, before I offer closing words, I did manage to find artwork depicting the Trinity. This is the original, and it's on the altar. copy of the original, not the original. That would be interesting. It is known as the Holy Trinity, and you are invited to take a closer look at it when you come up for communion or following the service. And you may recognize it from this week's newsletter and the slides, which are more artistic and modern than the original concept. And as you do so, remember these words of Jesus Christ from John chapter 17, verse 24 through 26. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, that they may see the glory you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, although the world has not known you, I know you. And they know that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have for me may be in them and I in them. Love is love is love. Amen, amen, and amen. Yeah.